The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the busiest Friday ever. The trade of all trades went down. What does it mean? Will either team win it all? Then Rodgers runs it back for MVP and then has a lot to say about his future. You need to hear it, and you will. And then, oh, by the way, the Super Bowl is the day after tomorrow. Which stars will shine brightest on Hollywood's super stage? Answers to all those questions as we get up with you, starting right now, presented by DraftKings and jam-packed as you would expect on this Friday. Look at the squad. Kmart is here. Bartholomew in the house. Tim Hasselbeck found his way to the seaport today for the first time. Great to see you. And obviously the basketball crew is here as well, coming off the enormous trade that was made yesterday. Legs and Wendy are ready to go. We'll have Big Perk. We will have Stephen A. Smith and Jay Will as we continue. Let's start there. The blockbuster trade has been made. The Nets are sending James Harden to the Sixers for Ben Simmons. There are other names involved along with the headliners. Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and two first-round picks also headed to Brooklyn. So last night, they had the All-Star Draft on TNT. And as part of that, Kevin Durant talked about the trade.
I'm excited for our team. Looking forward to finishing the season out with these new groups and these new players. And, you know, it's playoffs right around the corner, so we got to fast track into, you know, getting used to each other. But I'm excited. You know, I think everybody got what they wanted. I feel like we got versatile players, so we'll have to figure it out and figure out what works for us. But I'm just happy that we got guys that want to be a part of this.
That want to be a part of it. All right, here we go. These guys wanted to get up early with us this morning. Timmy Legs and Brian Windhorst. Wendy, I'm starting with you. There's so many places we can go. Let's get to the crux of it. Who won this deal? Brian Windhorst.
I think both sides can claim victory, and legitimately, Greeny, because Daryl Morey, for 6 months, batted away every single offer that was thrown at him, and there must have been in the hundreds, watched his team struggle at times and had to listen to all kinds of pressure, and he got his superstar, and a superstar he's comfortable with and knows how to build around, and they elevated themselves from, in my mind, a first-round team to a finals contender in one fell swoop. And then you look at Brooklyn, and getting Ben Simmons to a team that's going to get Kevin Durant back, plus a terrific additional piece in Seth Curry, and two first-round picks that I doubt they'll ever make. They will make additions by trading those picks, is my guess, in the next 18 months or so. Ben Simmons is 7 years younger, signed for much less money. Even though he's not the same player as Harden, he has a bit of a different horizon, and he also plays a lot better defense. Both teams can claim victory. I can't wait to see if they play in the postseason.
Yeah, if they face each other, obviously that could be epic. So, let's get into the specific fit here, okay, Legs? Let's talk about what these, because I think you could make an argument on paper. Both teams did get players that fit better with the players around them than the ones that they traded away. So how do you see the fit for Harden playing with Embiid and Simmons with the other stars in Brooklyn?
Well, listen, with Harden and Embiid, you're talking about now the most potent offensive duo in the NBA. And they're going to have to take some time to get that ebb and flow together, because Embiid's never played with a ball-dominant scoring guard like this, and James Harden's never played with a big that was more than a pick-and-dive guy. That's not what Joel Embiid is. So they're going to have to figure out, you know, when to be alpha in this offense. But eventually, you're talking about now a guy that is the most dominant force in the paint, and a guy that is unstoppable in the perimeter, and they're paired up, and hopefully they have enough shooting. There's no question that fits. And for Ben Simmons, you know, let's not forget the value that he does bring. I know a lot of people are looking at him now, maybe even wanting him to fail. Bottom line is this. He is one of the best perimeter defenders in the league. He's going to take pressure off KD and Kyrie on that end of the floor, because he can guard anybody that's hot at the 1-4 position. So he's going to protect those guys on that end of the floor. And then he's going to be a guy that's going to get easy shots for not only his star players, but for those role players as well, with his speed and his pace, which is something Brooklyn didn't have a lot of. Ben Simmons brings all of that to the table. And look, they probably got three starters in this deal, so the pieces are probably going to fit better in Brooklyn as well. And guys, I'll say the biggest winner of all is the league, because we potentially could have the best rivalry that this league has seen in a very long time. In a league that sorely lacks such rivalries, this could become one overnight.
Yes, imagine the sounds in the arenas when those teams play each other. It doesn't really matter which side they're in, but I will say, book your tickets for a game in Philly. That is for sure when Simmons makes his return. So, Legs, right now, and I've got a Twitter question up about this as well that we can dive into a little bit later. If those teams played each other in the playoffs this year, and we would all sign up for that, who would you pick?
I like Philadelphia right now. You know what? Their ceiling, I think, to me, is the highest in the East. I would rank them as the best team in the East. Now, look, it's going to take time. They got to figure it out. But I'm just assuming they're going to be able to do that. The way Embiid has looked this year, his stamina, his conditioning, his determination, his maturity level this year, and now you pair it with a guy like James Harden, I just think they could be an unstoppable force on the offensive end of the floor. And a big key for me, they kept Thibault, who's going to be so important if you have to play a team like Brooklyn. This guy right now might be the best perimeter defensive player in the NBA, and you keep him to guard Kevin Durant, to guard Kyrie Irving. That was critical. So I put Philly one, and actually right now I might even put Milwaukee slightly ahead of Brooklyn, because Brooklyn's got to figure out some things about Kyrie's availability. Ben Simmons has to show that he can handle the pressure that's going to come with this trade, and just going 90 miles up the road from Philadelphia in another major market and expecting to win a championship. There's a lot of pressure on Ben Simmons as well. He's got to handle that. We're not sure that he can. So I'm going to put Milwaukee 2, Brooklyn at 3 right now. And Miami, who thought they had the best team in the East a little while ago, is now dropped to 4th overnight with one trade.
I think that's right. Last week on Countdown, I asked the crew who they liked in the East, and all of them said Miami. We'll see if any of them still feel that way as we go. Meanwhile, Wendy, I feel like someone needs to bring this up to at least some degree. Does James Harden wear any of this? This is two teams in as many seasons that he has basically decided he wanted out of and handled, let's put it kindly, in a questionable way, creating those departures, and he's gotten paid over $80 million to do it, and now goes on to his third team and gets exactly what he wants. Does any of that follow him?
Well, he certainly had to wear it a little bit immediately last night when he was the last pick in the All-Star draft. Mm-hmm. Right there, you saw the first waves of the backlash. It's longer than just 2 years, Greeny. And if you're looking for a reason in Brooklyn to try to have encouragement about this, partnerships with James Harden and stars have not only gone terribly, but they keep getting shorter and shorter. First Dwight Howard, which I think was 3 years. Chris Paul, 2 years. Russell Westbrook, 1 year. Durant and Kyrie, and I know there were injuries and stuff, essentially 12 months. So while I agree with Legs that they fit together, if you were making a wager based on that information and the fact that Harden is getting older, you would say maybe it's not going to work out so well.
We'll find out, guys. Awesome. Stay close. We have so much more on this trade as we continue this morning. As I mentioned, Jay Will's going to jump in here in about a half hour over from radio. We'll have Big Perk today. Stephen A. Smith with his reaction today to one of the biggest and most consequential NBA trades we have seen in years. Meanwhile, to the NFL we go next. And congratulations to Aaron Rodgers, who last night became the 5th player in NFL history to win MVP awards in consecutive seasons. How about the previous ones? Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, Joe Montana, Jim Brown. Rodgers has now won it 4 times, and then last night had this to say about his future.
I don't fear retirement. I don't fear moving on. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished, proud that I've accomplished it in Green Bay over the last 17 years, and excited about the future, whatever that ends up being or looking like. Also still highly competitive, and still that bitter taste from the divisional game. So definitely a lot to weigh, but thankful for the Packers organization and the conversations that we had at the end of the season.
So it only seems fitting that in a year we've spent a lot of time parsing every word he said, the season should come to an end, and here we are doing the same thing again. I'll start with the psych major to my right. What did you hear there from Aaron Rodgers, Kimberly Martin?
Doesn't he sound like a guy who's saying goodbye to Green Bay? He really does. That, you know, he's talking about how competitive he still is and how he still, you know, wants to win and has that bitter taste in his mouth from losing so early in the playoffs. People I talk to do not see them trading him. But could you blame the Packers if you said, you know what, at some point we've got to look to the future. We've got to rip the Band-Aid off. Why don't we try to get a king's ransom for him and try to look ahead to the future? I think he fits better in Green Bay, but I wouldn't blame the front office if it finally said, you know what, we haven't won more than one Super Bowl with him. Let's move on.
Why are you looking in the other direction, Bart?
What's going on here, Bart?
I mean, ain't nobody going to say nothing about that corduroy suit, man. Like, ain't nobody going to say nothing. He looked like an anchor man in WOJLB Cincinnati, man. All right. So now let me focus. Let me focus, Green.
I couldn't get past the hair.
The hair? I was on the jacket.
I never
like,
even noticed the jacket.
Doing?
It was the hair.
Corduroy, man.
The hair?
The hair didn't bother you?
I didn't even see the suit.
The hair didn't bother you, though?
It's February, Bart. Either way. All right. So let's just say for the – Let's pretend that we didn't see him and we just heard what he said. Yes. What would your reaction be?
Well, listen, we at some point you heard Charles Woodson say earlier this week that at some point you can't allow Aaron Rodgers to continue to hold the organization hostage. And at some point you have to move forward. The problem is, the reality is that without Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. this team is barely a wild card team, if that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it doesn't guarantee, like, you know, organizations have struggled for years to replace, you know, franchise Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They've been fortunate enough to have two, you know, back-to-back. Life is lonely when you don't have that guy that's the equalizer. And that's the reality. That's why they're holding on to it. But if you can rebuild and set the foundation, this is the perfect year to do that, because you have guys out there like Jimmy G that can come in and be bridge quarterbacks. You got Mitchell Trubisky out there. Like, guys like that who are pros, Marcus Mariota, you know, to make that. But if you can get three first-round draft picks, I think that Denver is the perfect team to deal with. Because they have players that you can get back in return that are proven stars. You never know what you're going to get when you get picks, but you can get young guys like Surtain. You can go get guys like Sutton. They don't have a receiver on the roster, because if A-Rod is going, we know Devontae Adams is going.
Right. So go ahead, Tim. What do you think?
Well, that's why I think that I don't think Aaron's holding the team hostage. That's why Aaron's saying, like, I'm going to give you my answer soon. And I don't think he's necessarily doing it for the Packers. I think he's doing it for Devontae Adams, because that is going to, you know, I think – probably determine how Devontae handles his situation with Green Bay. Here's what I think. You said three first rounders. Is that enough? Like, if you're Green Bay, why would you take just three first rounders if Matthew Stafford goes for two plus Goff plus third?
You get two A-plus players.
Well, then why would Aaron want to go somewhere if you're trading away all the good players?
Like,
why would he
want
to go there if you're trading away good players? Think about this. In the last four seasons, I think Aaron's untradeable. I've been saying it was an issue last year before he went and won the MVP this year.
Meaning he's just too good to trade. He's
136 touchdowns and 15 interceptions over the last four seasons.
How many playoffs?
Matthew Stafford threw 17 interceptions this year.
Right.
No one has ever put together a string of four seasons like that, ever. It's not close.
But where did it get you?
That is the right.
One of the best teams, and he gives you a chance.
Yeah, more than.
Like
yeah.
you don't have. Like to me, and you said it. They're barely a wild card team without him. You gotta add Jimmy G. They're not. They're not winning the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. And they're also not even looking for a bridge quarterback. They drafted their quarterback after Aaron. So like to me, Green Bay's not looking for a quarterback. So to me, the best place for him to win a Super Bowl is with the Green Bay Packers. It was last offseason when we were talking about it, and it is this offseason when we're talking about it. I think the only difference is he actually has a better relationship with the team right now than he did a year ago.
But the issue is, where did it get him? Like, yeah, they won the division, but listen, at some point you got to move on from him, and you have to, and it's a tough pill to swallow. At some point, you have to move on from Aaron Rodgers. If you can get, you know, building blocks, the foundation going forward. I mean, you talk about if the Broncos give up his pieces. Well, what if he says, "Go get me Devontae Adams"?
Here's the thing: why do you have to give up on him earlier than he's given up on playing? When he is playing better than anyone else that is playing the hardest position in sports?
Does he want to be there?
That's the issue.
That's the big issue. Does he want to stay in Green Bay?
I think that. I think he wants to stay in Green Bay if Devontae's going to be back, if they can do things to keep players that he wants there. Like, that ends up being the key.
Did anyone else – can I ask that question? Did anyone else, as they listened to him say and maybe because we have listened to him say so many things, we take a little bit of it with a grain of salt – he sounded like a person who was seriously considering retiring, right? I mean, I don't know if we take that seriously. No, but he
and I would agree with you that it sounded like that. But, like, I also think that there's just watching him and hearing everything that he said this entire year.
Yeah.
I think there's just been this element of being, like, noncommittal. At playing at this level, I don't see him walking away playing at this level. This was fun for him this year. This was easy for him this year. And I think that ends up being
just watch Tom Brady do the same thing.
Yeah.
Having a great season. At some point, you
turn the
page.
But he's 6 years older. Brady's 44.
But the reality is, at some point, you have to move on from him. And the worst thing that can ever happen is he decides to go, or he decides to hang it up, or if he gives you 2-3 more years, you get nothing for him. Right. That's what we see, the empowerment. You want to be able to have the building blocks, because once he leaves, you have absolutely nothing.
Right.
Jordan Love is not the answer.
It is worth one reminder that threat of retirement is, at least to some degree, one of the elements of leverage that he can apply. So
yes,
he could be using that strategically as well. Kmart, put a ribbon on this.
If he wants to be there, he should stay, because it makes the most sense for Aaron Rodgers to try to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay. But this whole every year, it's sort of like, well, I've got to see what I'm doing. I don't know if I want to be here.
Too.
Like, both of these sides, if you want to be together, stay together. It makes the most sense.
Look,
but I don't know.
They traded Brett Favre because they had Aaron Rodgers and they knew what they had at him. Now they've got Rodgers.
Jordan
they've
Love
got Jordan Love.
Seasoning. He needs a little bit of seasoning.
Brett wasn't agreeing to the team's timeline at all.
Right.
From everything that Aaron has said, either to Pat or what he said, recently, is he's going to agree to help the team and the players it would affect.
All right, let's move forward. You know what? Oh, by the way, the Super Bowl is the day after tomorrow.
That game.
So we've got a game here. We're going to call it Red Light, Greeny Light. Do you buy it or not? Tim, I'll start with you. If I said Cam Akers is going to run all over that Bengals defense, are you giving that the red light or the greeny light?
I'm giving that a red light. I think Cam Akers is a great player, but Cincinnati had a top five run defense this year, and the other aspect of it is Cam Akers hasn't had over 55 yards rushing in a game this season. He's had games where he's carried it 24 times. So he's a good player. He helps them, but he's not going to run all over Cincinnati.
I was gone one day. We made that graphic. Kmart, man, if I said Jamar Chase is going to speed pass Jalen Ramsey all day Sunday, is that a red light or a greeny light?
I'm giving it a greeny light. Look, Jalen Ramsey, one of the best shutdown corners in the league, but I covered a pretty good shutdown corner back in my day, Darrell Revis. And you know what? Shutdown corners do get beat from time to time. Jamar Chase is that guy, and he's the key. Sorry, Bart. He's the key to this passing offense, and I think he's at least going to score one touchdown on Jalen.
Okay, we will not speak ill of Darrell Revis on this show. Next,
exactly.
Bart, if I said Aaron Donald will light up that Bengals offensive line, red light or greeny light?
Man, that is so green light, and it's really based on that secondary as well. That's why I think Jalen Ramsey won't be on Jamar Chase. You double the best player, and you put your best corner on their second best. That gives time for Aaron Donald to do what he always does, and that's Rex Games. I think he's going to go. That's a green light, greeny.
Well, it does feel, at the risk of sounding like we're oversimplifying it, like that's where the Super Bowl will be decided. The Rams
horrible.
Front seven is extraordinary. They get all kinds of pressure on the quarterback. The Bengals have had all kinds of problem protecting their quarterback this year. Tim, you have some tape on that matchup.
You know, everyone says, like, hey, they have a bad offensive line, Cincinnati. Really, their issue point is right guard. Because of injury and other issues, they've shuffled guys in and out. It's been Jackson Carmen, and it's been Hakeem Adeniji. And essentially, that's their issue.
Mm-hmm.
So where can you line Aaron Donald up there? Here's Jeffrey Simmons in the playoff game against Adeniji.
Oh,
like, listen, it's just not good enough. Like, I don't care how good your quarterback is at escaping.
Look at Joe.
That's a problem. The other thing, because they've, you know, rotated guys, they've had communication issues. It's a simple protection that should be picked up. Here's Harold Landry untouched. Again, I don't care how good of a job Burrow can do escaping. That's nearly impossible. And not that we need it, but just here's a little quick reminder of how talented this guy is.
Cool.
He's a run play against Minnesota. And I think their right guard throws a no-hitter. as he gets into the backfield for a tackle for loss. Yeah. Like, so to me, you know, a lot of times we talk about, hey, they move Aaron Donald around and stuff. Yeah. I think it's pretty easy here. Guess what? You're going right over the right guard until Jackson Carmen or Adeniji, until they can prove that they can block you, we're going to wear you
That's
out.
That's a great tape. Aaron, what do you think?
Aaron Donald make you famous. We going to know who those guards are. And the problem
is they're not double teaming. I mean, you're going to help out there, right?
Well, that's the issue. They move him around, but also he's a guy that can beat you with speed and power. So you think that you're going to lay a double team on him. He splits the double team. He anchors. He can anchor you, though he's a smaller guy. But also you saw against Minnesota, you saw that he can go the arm over. So he's a moving target because he's lightning quick as well. I mean, the closest thing that we've ever seen to him is a guy like John Randall, a guy that was a muscle type of 280. It's different. All 280s aren't created equally. And then he's a guy that and he understands the moment. And then now you have outside pressure, which just forces you to him. So you can't really slide to anybody because you create one-on-ones for other people.
And Kmart, you've been around this Bengals team and Joe Burrow so much this year, and he's taken a lot of hits and he keeps on getting up. Could this be even too much even for him?
You sacked 9 times. That 9 sacks wasn't enough to knock out Joe Burrow. But in a Super Bowl, the key is going to be getting the ball out quick. I mean, the Rams defense, 28th against the screen, 31st in the league against QB runs. So he's got to get the ball out quick to sort of offset the offensive line issues that we're talking about.
Kmart brought numbers today, guys. She's got numbers. We are ready to go. Could we be busier on this Friday leading into an enormous weekend? Here we go. As we continue, Joe Burrow, it's going to be his toughest test yet. That's the question. Is he going to get demolished by Aaron Donald? We are all over the biggest game of the year. Plus, in this hour, a very candid Dak Prescott, still upset with the way his season ended. Wait till you hear who he's blaming and who he's not for the wild card disaster. That's on the way. We're rolling along. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. All right, before we go on here, a little eye candy. Bart Scott, did you see what Steph Curry did to Julius Randle last night?
Unfortunately, I did. This is a reality for Knicks fans right now. We call this keep your eyes on your luggage. You're supposed to keep your eyes on your luggage. Look at this. This is stage of reminiscence of MJ with the teardropper. Did he fall too? Steph Curry out there catching bodies, Green.
All right, as we roll along. By the way, the Knicks won that game. Coming up, KD gets his revenge on James Harden. You have to see what happened last night. Plus, Jay will tell you who won the trade as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
In 1946, Marion Motley and Bill Willis were two of the first African Americans to play pro football. They went on to win five consecutive championships with the Browns. But it was their perseverance that helped convince Brooklyn Dodgers general manager Branch Rickey that Jackie Robinson could break baseball's color barrier the very next year.
We roll along. You're watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings, and it happened yesterday. The biggest trade in the NBA in a very long time. And let's talk about the impact of Simmons for Harden. Starting in Brooklyn, the Nets have a new big three as Simmons will join KD and Kyrie. Now, how often they'll play together is contingent on how soon Simmons will be ready and Kyrie's availability. So the questions remain. Meanwhile, Harden goes to Philly to join Joel Embiid, giving the Sixers a duo whose combined scoring average is just under 53 points a game this season, and that's with Harden not having played anywhere near his best. In terms of winning the East, Caesars still has the Nets as the favorite. The Sixers are the second choice. Last night during the All-Star Draft, KD avoided selecting one player in particular.
Yeah, I need some size and some defense and interior.
Yeah.
Especially with Giannis and LeBron James
without
playing.
Question.
Such great basketball this year. I need somebody to offset that, so I'm going to go with Rudy Gobert.
He hasn't played. Is he healthy?
Who's that?
James, he hasn't played. What happens if he doesn't?
Oh, he got traded. He's healthy now.
He's missed the last three with a hammy. And now we know why LeBron carries a clipboard with him to the draft.
Hey, LeBron, oh my gosh, trust me right now, he's rubbing some icing hot on that thing. He's playing the next game.
No questions.
I can't with y'all.
He's awesome. Healthy now, ain't he?
Oh, those guys are very, very well done. All right, Jay Will is here from KJM on ESPN Radio. Let's start with that. How about KD snubbing Harden in the All-Star Draft?
So here's what I was thankful for yesterday. We got a gift from the basketball gods.
Yeah.
The last time we had a rivalry, you said, in the Eastern Conference, what, 25 years ago?
I would say the last real Eastern Conference rivalry would have been Bulls-Knicks in the late 90s.
So this is palpable now, right? Yep. The fact that Ben Simmons didn't want to be in Philly, all Philly fans hate him. Joel Embiid hates him. The way James Harden got himself out of Brooklyn, that scenario you just watched with Kevin Durant, not choosing him, choosing Rudy Gobert over James Harden for the All-Star Reserve draft list. I mean, come on, with the Kyrie Irving drama, with the GMs, Daryl Morey and Sean Marks, this is a real rivalry. And we're going to get our first taste March 10th.
Right. March 10th, it will be their first meeting. We hope that we will get seven more of them at some point in May. Mm-hmm. If those teams played each other in a best of seven series, who would you pick?
Well, what's my Kyrie Irving situation?
Let's say Kyrie is not eligible to play home games.
Then I will, if the 76ers have a better end-up record, I would probably take the 76ers in this. But the interesting thing is I think that GM Daryl Morey, I think he got fleeced. I mean, you're talking about
how so?
Two first-round picks, mm-hmm. Andre Drummond, Seth Curry, and Ben Simmons to a divisional rival. And the fact that, look, James Harden, he elevates your team. I hear you. You'll have a legit chance. But he's also injury prone. I think that the Nets have gotten better for 3 to 4 years because they locked in Ben Simmons for the 3 years of his deal. I think it gives him a longer runway. But I don't know if that runway is the same with the 76ers.
I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But let me make the counter argument. Those first-round picks are going to be late first-round picks, right? 20-something. So you very seldom get a superstar player there. Second, what are you getting in Ben Simmons? What is it? He hasn't played all year.
Okay.
All right. He hasn't played a game since last June in game seven. He's had whatever issues that he's had since then. What's he going to be in Brooklyn?
You're getting one of the best defensive players there is in the game of basketball.
Right.
And you're getting somebody that is a one-man fast break transition. And guess what? The team is built around him the right way. They both occupy the dunker spot. Him and Joel Embiid. And as much anger that Philly fans had for Ben Simmons last year, I can put a lot of blame on Doc Rivers and the way he used Ben Simmons in that rotation. Once again, not making any excuses for Ben not shooting the ball. That's on Ben. He should own that. But Doc has a lot of blame there, too. Now look at the pieces you're surrounding him with. Brooklyn. Dynamic weapons. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Seth Curry. You can use Andre Drummond at the right spot when he's not on the floor of Ben Simmons. You're surrounding him and you're building a team around him the same way that Milwaukee Bucks are built around Giannis. That's the key to success for Ben Simmons.
All right, Seth Curry has had a very good year. Drummond is a nice piece. Yes. Philly gives up those guys in the moment. They were getting nothing from Simmons, so that, at least for the purposes of this season, is irrelevant, and neither are the draft picks.
Yep.
So you lose those guys, you bring in Harden. Is Philly now the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
They better be. They better be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. That's why you went all in for your Daryl Morey for James Harden right now. And here's the big question for James Harden. What will people look at James Harden's legacy to be? Because before this past year and a half, one of the most innovative scorers to ever play the game.
Right.
Dynamically, offensively dynamic, so incredible to watch, right? But now when you start thinking about the way he's forced himself away from Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, his career started off where? In OKC, with KD and Russ, right? I didn't find me yet. I want to go somewhere else to find me. Fine, you left that situation. Fast forward all the players he has played with to the fact that you leave the greatest trio that never was.
Right.
You leave KD and Kyrie. You better win a world championship either this year or next, or your legacy is going to be somebody who's choked in the playoffs and somebody who runs away when things get tough.
Now, I'm with that. And he couldn't make it work with Westbrook, and he couldn't make it work with Chris Paul.
CP3.
And all of these different guys. So why will it work with Embiid?
Because I think this has a chance to be the most dynamic pick and roll that the game of basketball has ever seen. And I'll tell you, there is something to be said about when you're in your comfort spot. Michael Rubin and him are very, very close. Michael Rubin posted about it last night, like, I got my guy. His relationship he's had with Daryl Morey. But the big question that will come down to this puts a lot of pressure on Doc Rivers. Just got voted top 15 greatest coaches of all time. I'm telling you, I watched some Philadelphia games where you start to question some of the scenarios that Doc Rivers runs in games. So they're all eyeballs will be on this coach. He couldn't get it done with the Clippers. You heard rumors around the way Paul George, Kawhi Leonard thought about him. Now you have the best opportunity to win the Eastern Conference. It will come down to coaching of Doc Rivers.
Well, he's got 20-something games to sort of figure out how to use those guys. It's going to be fascinating. Get back on the radio, my friend. Thank you so much, Jay Will, as always. And I want to know what you think. I've got a poll up on Twitter right now, at ESPN Greeny, and here it is. Now, give me your vote. Right now, who wins the East? Based on this trade and everything that's happened, who you got? Milwaukee. Still Milwaukee. Jay Will says Milwaukee. You can cast your vote on my Twitter page, at ESPN Greeny. Let us know what you think. We'll get another reaction a little bit later. In the meantime, we got great games coming up for you Saturday night, prime time. We got LeBron and the Lakers. They didn't do anything yesterday. What will they be? Taking on Steph and the Warriors. Our coverage begins with NBA Countdown, 8 Eastern. That's on ABC and the ESPN app. All right, back to the Super Bowl. This could be a legacy-defining game for a number of players. Kmart, I'll start with you. What would a Super Bowl win mean for Odell Beckham?
He gets a championship. That's the one thing missing on his resume, but he's a fantastic player. I think, honestly, if he wins a championship, I think it says more about his father. Odell Beckham Sr. will actually be the league MVP if Odell wins a ring.
Got him out of Cleveland. Bart, next, what would a Super Bowl win mean for Aaron Donald?
It solidifies a Hall of Fame first ballot career, but it also puts him up there with the upper echelon great players of all time, not just by position, but also may make him one of arguably the greatest defensive player of all time. J.J. Watt was in this position similarly. He can never get over the hump. Aaron Donald putting a cherry on top with a Super Bowl will put him in rarefied air green.
Well, I think that's a big statement, but it's hard to disagree. Tim Hasselbeck, what would a Super Bowl win mean for Matthew Stafford?
It changes everything. It means more to him as a player than any other player. I would agree with the OBJ thing and the Aaron Donald thing, but for Matthew Stafford, I think it'd be impossible to argue that he's not a Hall of Famer if he, you know, wins the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I think that he probably is, even if he doesn't. But that being said, it changes everything because almost no dispute if he wins the Super Bowl.
You know, it's interesting. When the season began, I said we're going to find out that Stafford all these years was one of two things. He was either a good quarterback who couldn't elevate the Lions,
right,
or he was a great quarterback and the Lions were not elevatable.
Yeah.
And so maybe he will prove you're a Detroit native.
Yes. The worst ran organization in the history of sports. I talked to Barry Sanders on my show the other day, and I apologized to him on behalf of Detroit.
So maybe it sort of leans in that direction. You've got some tape, Stafford, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, listen, here's the thing. It hasn't been perfect, okay? I think that's fair to say. Right. There have been some rough spots. but they went and got him because they wanted to elevate the quarterback play. He's been great against the blitz. They get into empty a lot because he's so good in empty. Sees inside off coverage. He's expecting zero coverage. Signals out to the top to the right. Cooper Kupp's up there. Communicates the signal down to the bottom of the screen as well. Again, off with inside leverage. It's telling him, I'm getting blitz zero. That allows him to communicate the protection to the offensive line, and you're going to end up getting a full slide. Why that's important is the full slide, Matthew Stafford knows who he is going to lose to. You want to lose to the widest rusher. It's in his face. And because he knows it, knows where it's coming from, he's got the ability to find a throwing lane, again, against inside leverage, so you want to throw an outbreaking route. There's Cooper Kupp. There's the ability to find the lane because you know who you're losing to, and it's basically a really easy touchdown. It's a nice grab by Kupp. So he's been really good against the blitz. Think of the end of the Tampa game. Yeah. It was zero coverage again. That's the thing where he can really make you pay, and that's the difference. Quite honestly, it's one of the differences between he and someone like Jared Goff. Like, he's making you pay when you come after them.
Yeah, that zero blitz at the end of that game by Tampa, which continued to never make any sense to me.
That's a blown coverage, Grady.
One way or the other, it's a really interesting point. And so there is that pressure, right? Kmart, as one who has made your career sort of chronicling the bigger picture of the sport, I mean, for Stafford, it really is probably more at stake for him than anyone else in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I covered that Tampa game, against the Rams against the Bucs, and we're talking about how this is a guy who's the whole reason he was brought here was to win a championship. The whole reason McVay said, hey, this is a guy we can win with. His whole legacy, the narrative, it can change overnight. Yeah. And that's why this Super Bowl, regardless of which team wins, the stories on both sides are amazing, because Matthew Stafford has a chance to quiet everybody.
Let's talk about pressure, Bart, because it's a complicated thing, particularly at the quarterback position, right? Mm-hmm. In the game of football, almost everyone else is going full speed at all times.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the quarterback has got to be in control, and
cerebral
pressure sometimes can create issues. How do you expect the pressure which exists on him to manifest itself in this game?
Well, I think, you know, I can remember, you know, growing up and being a 49ers fan and remembering the pressure that, you know, that Young had on his
Steve
back.
Young, yeah.
Steve Young had on his back. I think this gift, he's fighting for his legacy and also validation, right? Fighting for the fact that, you know, all the doubters said he couldn't elevate. Because if he falls short, this team has already fallen short, you know, with a quarterback that they didn't have to give up enough for, you know, a lot for, and you think about Jared Goff. You know, so for him, I think, you know, what he's put on display, he's already kind of quieted the critics because they didn't think that he was able to play at an elite level at elite times. And he went through those, you know, lows during the season where he struggled a little bit. But I think, you know, McVay is able to have a quarterback with football acumen that understands the answers to the test. Mm-hmm. Before, they used to have to get to the line of scrimmage and McVay was talking to him in communication. With him, I feel there's a sense of ease. So it's just about him just finishing the job. And this is a tough thing because they're at home. They should be the favorite. They are the veteran team. They're the most experienced team. But every once in a while in football, we have the outliers like Seattle. We have the outliers like the Eagles that come out of nowhere, because it's supposed to be a process. You're supposed to struggle before you win a Super Bowl. You're not supposed to just come and be the worst team in the division and then win a Super Bowl. If Joe Burrow is able to do this, he becomes a phenomenon, not since the likes of Mahomes that we've seen in recent history.
All right, Tim, I have a few more questions for you about this as well. Like, I got to do a break. I want to remind everyone we have a DraftKings question this morning as well, and it's a pretty simple one. Who is going to throw for more yards in this game between the two quarterbacks? Will it be Stafford or Joe Burrow? DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And for the Super Bowl, new sportsbook customers can bet $5 to win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Just sign up now and use the code GETUP. We're rolling on. Different football news today. A candid Dak Prescott yesterday, still upset with the way his season ended. Wait till you hear who he is and isn't blaming. That's on the way. It's a busy Friday. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're watching Get Up, presented by DraftKings.
It's all the non-believers.
How did that
happen? All the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
All right, there are the words that made him famous. Bart's going to tell us the things he can't wait to see this weekend, and I would assume that it's an all Super Bowl edition.
Normally it would be, but when you have a blockbuster trade like happened in the NBA, you got to start with basketball.
All right.
I tell you what, but the first thing I can't wait for is to see how that hamstring helper is working in Philly. Who knew that Philly cheese is what gets the inflammation out of the hamstring? James Harden going to Philly with Embiid is going to be something to watch. I tell you what, so much pressure put on James Harden to try and get that elusive championship. Can he get in Philly? I can't wait to see it.
Next up.
After that, I tell you what, man. Ben Simmons? Mm. I want to know who's going to take a three-pointer first, Andre Drummond or Ben Simmons? Let's see if he's got the yips out of him. I can't wait to see if this young man can come back and recapture that all NBA caliber that he had before, man. I can't wait to see it. But I tell you what, Drummond's been practicing on a three-pointer.
Okay. Do you have any football at all in this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, the most important thing I want to see, and I know I call him Macaulay Culkin, I got to call him by his real name now, Joe Burrow. If Joe Burrow comes from the abyss to pull the Cincinnati Bengals out of the dumps of our franchise and make them a Super Bowl winner, I tell you what, this changes everything because every GM is going to have pressure applied on them. If he can come in 2 years, no more five-year plan.
Yeah.
You go get your franchise quarterback, you get her done.
I think you could make an argument it would be the greatest turnaround in NFL history. Yes. If he is able to do it. All right, so we look forward to all of that. Meanwhile, something else from yesterday that I really want you to hear. Wild Card Weekend, as you may recall, ended in heartbreaking fashion for the 49ers, against the 49ers, I should say, for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. When Prescott, you know the play by now, he runs the quarterback draw and time runs out. So Dak is on with Rich Eisen yesterday and was asked how often he thinks about that play. Listen to this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, nonstop, honestly, multiple times a day.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. I mean, just expecting to go so much further, to have your season be a lot more than it was, and then just for it to end so sudden, and especially in the way that it did, it's a tough one to swallow.
How do you play it back in your mind?
In retrograde, I can say I should have went down a second earlier, but in my timing and everything, I thought it was right. But you have to prepare for human error in that sense of whether the ball to be moved or whether two guys running at each other, and I'll do that now, obviously.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
still on
the
retrograde. Wow. I'm caught up on retrograde, human error. It's
human error. What's human error? Your human error?
That's all I'm saying.
Let's be clear on why we're so concerned about that. Because by him saying human error, you're interpreting that, as I am, to suggest that the official running in there as he did is quote unquote human error.
Right.
When the reality is the officiating was exactly right. They did exactly what they're supposed to do.
But how about understanding the situation if you're either the center or the right guard to open up to allow somebody to come through? But you should never been in that situation. Listen, we so often make so many excuses for these guys, man. And I hate that it came down to this, because they got their butt kicked. And it took D'Amico Ryan calling some of the worst two-minute off defense I've ever seen in football just to give them that easy path there. But listen, they fall short because they are not a mentally tough team. And if they're going to have this built-in excuse going in next year, they're not going to correct the things that they need to correct by being a detail-oriented team and having some type of mental toughness when somebody punches you in the face.
Yeah, so Tim, you sound like you disagree.
The official shouldn't respot the ball. A yard, and this is the officials, this is how they're coached.
Right.
A yard in that situation is immaterial, where the ball is spotted.
But he has to touch it, right? Regardless of what else.
He has to touch it.
He has to get to where he was trying to get to.
And he has to touch it. He should not pick it up, because moving it a yard has no bearing on the play. And that is the NFL and the officials' position on it. So you go back to the earlier in the season when it was Green Bay, San Francisco, 37 seconds left. Aaron Rodgers brings them back. Devontae Adams catches a ball. It's outside the numbers. The ball ends up, on the ground. The official sprinting in from behind. He taps it with his hand. He doesn't pick it up.
Right.
So, like, the reality is the officials did not – look, Dak is wrong. He went too far. The officials didn't do it right.
But did Dak have human error as well? By
yes. Right.
But
yes.
Was another 2 yards running really worth it?
Both things can be true.
Yeah. In fairness to him, the officials did not
do it the way it should be done.
And in fairness to him, we should point – we don't know what he means by human error. He could mean his own guys. Any number of things could happen.
I interviewed Michael Parsons on my radio show. They're still blaming the refs.
Right.
They should have showed up. They were supposed to be the better team.
The official was 35 yards away when the ball was down.
Agreed. Both things can be true. But if you're a Dallas Cowboys player,
no team in the NFL has
more legs to stand on when it comes to blaming refs than the Saints. We've seen the Saints in the playoffs get hosed by ref intervention.
Yep.
But the Dallas Cowboys, that game is not because of the refs. They did not lose that game because of the refs. And the Dallas Cowboys just need to get
They still
over
had to throw a Hail Mary. We forget that it had to be a whole nother play.
Yeah.
That's a pretty damn hard play to make, but they just build them in.
All right, as we continue, so much more on the blockbuster trade. Who won the deal? Who wins the championship as a result? We're getting back to that. Plus, Rodgers wins MVP. He runs it back, and then he spoke at length about his future. You need to hear this. We couldn't be busier on a Friday. It's Get Up on ESPN.